Welcome to Flashpoint, the podcast for filthy casuals by filthy casuals.
Hi everyone and welcome to Flashpoint episode 92, recorded Sunday, January 25th. I'm your host David Holloway and with me is a co-host who spent the first part of 2015 at an undisclosed location in the Andromeda Galaxy. How are you, Simon?
Good, but I'm pretty sure I told you I was going to the Triangulum Spiral, not Andromeda. Granted, they're both in our galactic group, but you're wrong.
I'm sorry.
Other than that, I'm pretty good, thank you. Yeah, feeling slightly pedantic, though.
Well, welcome back. It's been a while. It's been a little bit over a month.
Oh, it seems so much less time than that.
Yeah, you sound like ADS1 for some reason. And we're also pleased to have as a guest co-host again this episode, Mr. David Carr. How are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good, thank you.
Excellent. So thanks for coming. David's going to talk a little bit about an interesting local gaming event that occurred with EVE Online. So we'll get onto that, and I'm sure you'll throw in lots of gems throughout as well. So this first episode back, we're going to talk, as always, a bit of Star Wars The Old Republic, a bit of WoW, Guild Wars, Destiny, SO, Marvel Heroes, you name it, we've got it. So, but as always, our first section is Republic News, so let's jump into it.
You're not afraid? You will be.
You will be.
For this first episode, Republic News will dominate because there's been a hell of a lot of MMO news out over the last 4 or 5 weeks. So let's get into it. Firstly, let's do the rounds of what we've been playing. Simon, what have you played over the last 4 or 5 weeks?
Oh, let's see. I tried to work through a bit of my pile of shame on the PlayStation 3. So you finally got around to starting Batman Arkham Asylum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For some reason, I also decided to start playing Batman Origins, is it? Yeah, I've decided to start playing two Batman games out of order and at the same time because...
That's the way you roll.
My brain doesn't work. Also, what else was I playing? I was had a bit of ESO, so then we obviously got some stuff to talk about. Some SWTOR, of course, doing a little bit of banging around in the beautiful tropical waters of Rishi, and finally managed to get myself onto Yavin 4 as well, which is a lot less my kind of planet. I'd have to say, but still quite stunning. And Destiny, mainly because of you, started playing on the PS4 again because I've been really playing my Warlock.
Warlock, yeah.
Can't even get the terms straight in my head with too many games. And finally started getting my Hunter leveled up again and just reminded myself all the things I like about the gameplay and the things that just make me want to cry as well. So it's
we're going to talk about that, aren't we?
Yes, we most certainly are.
Oh, excellent. And David, what have you been up to the last month?
Like normal, a lot of EVE, and have also started leveling up some of my Star Wars characters. I've got 3 of 10 up to level 60 now, slowly going through that. I know one of the guys I raid with, he's got 7 of his up, and I don't know how he's done it. I normally level 1 and then have a bit of a break because it gets quite monotonous after a while. So a bit of Battlefield 4 because I've been dying to shoot some people, and... one game of Destiny is all I've done.
Oh, that's probably enough. And then as far as what I've been playing, look, I've got a really shameful admission for the first episode of the year, and that's that since we last talked, I still have not set foot in Star Wars The Old Republic. I haven't played a single minute of Shadows of Revan, mainly because I've been busy, but also World of Warcraft has just totally... dominated my MMO game playing, mostly because of the Garrison stuff, to be honest, and there's just so much stuff in that expansion I still don't feel like I'm ready to devote 100% of my MMO time to SWTOR. So that's my shameful admission. Fair whack of Destiny and a little bit of Dragon Age Inquisition, which I'll talk about in a little while as well. So I think it's fair to say we've all been playing plenty of games. That's the main thing. All right, so let's move across to SWTOR stuff. And the first one being is that just in the last week, there's been a little bit of a change in the, well, not the community support, but more the support for podcast websites and other more hardcore people that cover SWTOR, in that Hilary Nicole, who was the community coordinator for us people, announced that she's leaving, or she's now left. I think her last day, Simon, what was it? Was this week? It was this week just passed.
It was. Was it like Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah,
it wasn't long ago at all.
So she's moved on, it seems, amicably. And then not long after she announced that, we received some communication from Courtney Wood that most listeners will know well and truly from the forum. She's a regular, very much a regular on there, and she'll now have responsibility for covering those of us covering them. So I don't know, that's just worth noting. Any comments on that, Simon? I mean, I think as I sent to you at the time, it's sadly just a regular occurrence, the amount of community coordinators we've seen come and go.
Yeah, well, I don't really have a specific thought on this because I don't really have any information. It's a difficult job. I think from what I recall of Pocket saying, she came from the community into a community support role. A bit like Law did with Blizzard. He was part of Podcaster and Enthusiast before he got his rather choice position at Blizzard. But I think it's a difficult job though, and there always seems to be a certain amount of churn. I mean, you think about we're a bit like the Queen. She's seen many prime ministers go, and yeah. She's kept on toddling on and doing what she's doing. So I think we're all in that sort of situation. It's easy to see it as you look back and you think it's a frequent change of the guard, but I'm not sure that it was. I think she had a fairly decent stint.
Yeah.
And I've not seen anything to indicate that there was anything other than just looking
to move on.
On new adventures, new challenges.
Yeah, agreed. So we're the Queen, yeah?
Well, you are. I might be Prince Philip.
Oh. Yeah, see, I'd rather be Prince. He's a legend. He's such a funny old bugger. Anyway, which is pretty much you. You're a funny old bugger.
Move on, David. Move on.
Well, I think you are.
Your life's in your hands at this point.
That's right. SWTOR in 2015, Bruce McLean has, well, now, correct me if I'm wrong, he talked to PAX South, and then I don't think it's officially hit the website. To be honest, I haven't checked, but he's basically given a rough roadmap for SWTOR in 2015, essentially saying that, you know, on the 10th of February, I get Game Update 3.1, which will have two new hard mode flashpoints, the Battle of Rishi and Blood Hunt, and then PvP Season 4 will start. And then April 28th, which is a tentative date for Game Update 3.2, where they have a new system called the Outfit Designer, which, okay, if you like that sort of thing. And then a new story arc as well on the planet. Simon, you better say, because I'll stuff it up. Zeost?
Oh, Zeost, yeah.
Zeost?
Yes, that's a pretty significant world in lore.
Oh, it is, yeah. So, Imperial yes. Homeworld, yeah. Where they answer many of the questions posed by the cliffhanger at the end of The Shadow of Revan, which I wouldn't have the foggiest about because I haven't even bloody started it. And that's that date will also see the start of Season 5 of PvP. Beyond that, he sort of gets a bit vague as far as dates, but talks about that they're hoping to do a new Stronghold and a new playable race, the Togruta. Have I done that one right?
Yes, so I can honestly say I don't give two grooters about.
So that's interesting that there's a new playable race, and that they're saying that that's just the beginning. There's lots more to be revealed. So probably starting with you again. So I mean, there's nothing particularly groundbreaking there, is there?
No, there's not. What he does talk about is they're returning to their roots of the four pillars and. The story being the fourth one, and that's what they're returning to after introducing Galactic Strongholds and Starfighter and a bunch of other bits and pieces. let's face it, Galactic Starfighter seems to be the red-headed child at this point. It sure does. They've indicated that they're not doing any new development with it, so hopefully they will return to that at some point, but clearly not on this roadmap, because it's going to be story. So I did find something a little bit, I'm going to say contradictory, and I've just got to find the quote here, because it's... Sorry.
That's all right. I was just going to say, while you're looking that up, on Galactic Starfighter, I mean, I agree, it's got no love since its launch, essentially, but I'm wondering, given the stats and analytics that they would get out of all the use, whether it's reflecting pretty much my play style, and that I played it a handful of times and have never gone back, and I don't see it as a core part of what I do in SWTOR, and I'm wondering if their analytics are showing that that's the vast majority.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, you've got to bear in mind that this is a theme park game, so like any theme park, some people are going to want to ride on everything, some people are just going to ride on the roller coaster, and some people are just going to get drunk and ride the teacups until they throw up down the side of one. So, yeah, I mean, that's entirely normal. Most people get like the PvP, that's all some people want to do, and which is why they feel so neglected, because they're neglected. And others are just going to be happy banging around with decorating their stronghold and doing the PvE stuff. And I've lost my place again, but here we go. He said that, just the point I was going to make about story, you're going to see a unified story with themes that unite our eight classes. And then they go on to say that... Where is it? Then they go on to talk about the personalization of your class story. And I'm not quite... One sort of seems to contradict the other, but... It's like anything with these roadmaps. We don't know when any of these things
are
actually going to hit, and if they're going to hit in the way that it's being referred to here, or if we're completely off track. So, but yeah, it's promising. It's good to see that there's more story coming in. Obviously, they got some good metrics with the Shadow of Revan storyline.
And it's good to see they've announced finally the implementation of the same-sex romance stuff. Sorry, I couldn't resist a bit of sarcasm. Mm. And David, what's your take on it? Anything there that particularly excites you?
Just that costume designer thing, because I think Eternicast was speculating about it on their show just recently. Hopefully it will alleviate the need to then keep on swapping out all your mods to the gear that you want if you want to have a particular look, because now with the 192 stuff, you're looking at about, I think it's like about 14,000 to do one piece, so
cool, yeah.
you tee up three of them times, what's that, five, so yeah, it starts adding up a bit, so if we're going to be able to then have it where we can have a look and then the gear that we get, we just put on and then change our look, yeah, that sort of looks pretty, I'm sort of pretty happy with that, because me, I actually just talked about that just recently, I changed the look of my character, got sick of the way that it currently looks, so with Shadows of Revan, they brought out a new dye colour, so I changed over my armour and got this particular dye colour, so just, wanted to vary it up a bit, but again, also like how they're saying that the story's going to be on finalizing on Zyost. I don't know. Me, I always sort of look at it as this is going to be the final of this story, and then I guess I always look at then, well, what's next after that? Even though that might be a year and a half away, I always think though, what's next? So, but no, it's sounding pretty good. So, but again, with things like this, time will tell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Zyost, or I'm not entirely sure how it's pronounced, but it's since the spoiler, since the Emperor's revealed to be the big bad at some point, perhaps in some storyline, then you could see that as being a penultimate battle. But I can't help thinking they just put him back in his box, because you can't really get rid of. It's a bit like getting rid of Satan. You know, your whole moral framework kind of falls apart if you don't have that.
Don't have him, that's right.
And it's very much a bipolar moral state they've got. So you can't have one without the other. So, yeah, I'm not sure quite what's going to happen there, but I'd be interested to see.
Hmm.
And he's like an omnipotent being sort of at the moment these days. And so I guess, yeah, how do you get rid of someone like that? But in a throwback to Supernatural, the amount of times that they've taken out omnipotent beings, it's sort of probably going to be a case will probably be quite easy in the end.
If you remember the old the spin-off to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, I think that lasted about four seasons, and they had an Armageddon basically at the end of every season. And, yeah, you can't keep that up. There's only so many global Armageddons you can have before sort of, yeah, again, look, I got to get my laundry done, guys. Can we hurry this up?
Yeah, it turns into a Marvel comic book series.
It does, and you can only reset the world so many times before it just gets ridiculous.
That's right. So actually, I must talk about that later. I say this often, but it's good, again, to see that there is a roadmap, that there's still plenty of stuff in development, and there's, you know, that's always a positive.
Yeah, and there doesn't seem to be anything here. They actually seem to be trying to help the players rather than shaft them royally up the back corridor, unlike some others.
Yes. Yeah. So, Guild Wars 2. I'm just going to mention this briefly because unless I'm mistaken, and I quite often am, that they've just announced their first major... Yeah, no, it is. It's the first Guild Wars 2 expansion, which is called Heart of Thorns. So I've had a look through, and I can't see that they've committed to a date yet, but obviously during 2015, they've said that they'll be releasing the Guild Wars 2 expansion. I mean, having read through, it's like most expansions, although Guild Wars 2, I've got to give them credit. When they do things, they do them in a big way. It's a big expansion. They've got a whole new map. They've got a whole bunch of new systems, a new profession, a new, don't quote me on playable race, but just a whole bunch of stuff. So if you're still playing Guild Wars 2, I think you're in for a lot of love this year. I can't say I've been one of them, though. I update the launcher every month or two, but I never seem to get in and play.
Yeah, there's just not enough hours in the day.
No, that's the issue. That's absolutely, because it's a pretty, pretty game. I'd definitely say that. And speaking of the pretty games, except in the opposite, Marvel Heroes. I just thought I'd mention, I know I'm well known on this podcast for slagging Marvel Heroes. I mean, it has its appeal to a limited extent, but I got a promo email today that talks about they're having a Cowtastrophe event. And it's titled, Cowtastrophe is Broken Out. Bosses Can Summon Cows. Cow King Brevik, who I think is the main lead guy on Marvel Heroes. He'll be... David Brevik himself will be playing AS the Cow King. Don't miss it. He'll be able to group with players, drop rewards, grant special buffs and more. And you'll be able to do all these things with cows, cow summonings, and defeat waves of angry bovine in Industry City Patrol. New bovine portal uniques. I mean, it's why?
Is Blizzard going to be unhappy with them for stealing that off Diablo?
Well, good point. Hadn't thought of that either. It's just, who... In their production meetings where they say, okay, let's have an event for Marvel Heroes... Let's have one called Cowtastrophe. Even by Marvel standards, that's just stupid. Or am I alone?
Well, you are, but that's not what we're talking about. I don't know. I'm kind of speechless as well with this. As David's kind of intimated, there appears to be a... And I wondered if it might be a reference to something I was ignorant of. So
yeah, well, I wondered that too. I mean, I'm a Marvel head, and I just can't think of anything in the Marvel Universe that's particularly significant around cows, or it doesn't allude to any real-world event that I can think of.
But maybe it's got something to do with Diablo.
Yeah.
So other than that, or they were just trying to be wacky, like, yeah, I don't know, turning random characters into sheep, which is always fun, or trying to be a bit wacky like Goat Simulator. But the trouble is... This just sort of looks...
lame.
Yeah, it looks kind of sad.
Yeah. Really. I mean, I'm guessing, I suppose the hardcore players will go, it's something different, why not? But I can't see it attracting a whole bunch of new people back to the game going, oh, shit, now I'm getting into this, there's cows. But anyway, I just thought I couldn't resist mentioning that. Now, speaking of buy to play, we've just talked about Guild Wars 2 and Marvel Heroes. Is Simon, I believe, Elder Scrolls Online is going buy to play in March.
Yeah, worst kept secret ever. Basically, this has been the subject of chatter for quite a while, and I'm pretty sure most people probably are already aware of it. But there's the console launch has been announced. So rather than trying to dredge the whole murky business of subscriptions into consoles, and the only game I can think of that does that with the PS4 is DC Universe Online, and that's strictly optional. So, yeah, it's a similar sort of a model. You buy the game to play it, B2P, and then you have the option, and it's extremely optional because there doesn't seem to be a massive incentive to do it apart from a stipend of in-game currency, premium currency. So if you've bought the game and you go back and you get 500 rounds, if you are a existing subscriber, you get 500 crowns, and anyone who newly buys the game gets 500 crowns, and then you get a stipend. If you go into one of the tiered, I can't really call it a subscription, but one of the tiered memberships, and you pay your money, which is basically the same as the existing subs, which is the 30, 60, and 90 days. They got rid of the 6-month one. You get the DLC for free. Otherwise, you can just buy the DLC that appeals to you, or the one that your friends are getting. Again, this is a very similar model that DC Universe Online has been using since it became available on consoles as well. So it's a good idea, and I think it's going to be excellent to see it on the consoles, because it's going to be a very console friendly game. There's no two ways about that, and also it's consoles are just a massive cash cow. Yeah. It's so much larger audience than PC gaming.
Gotcha.
So yeah, they're going to do pretty well with this, and they're bringing in the new Justice, and I've forgotten the other thing. There's two major additions that are feeding into the game before the console launch, so that basically the PC players will test most of that out and iron most wrinkles out before the console launch. So yes, a very sound move on their part. They milked the sub idea for as long as they could, as a number of games have.
Yeah.
And now that they're ready to go on to console, getting rid of that, keeping the tiered membership, or translating it to a tiered membership, and opening a cash store. So
yeah.
I think ZeniMax is going to do quite well out of this.
Yeah.
And their plans for content, for DLC updates, seems to be a pretty solid one. So, yeah, I've got high hopes for this. Depending on what they price it as on the console, I might even look at getting a version on console, assuming I've got a full-time job again by then.
Yeah.
Because I play DC Universe on the PS4 and on the PC. Different servers, so I've got a bunch of characters anyway. And sometimes you want to sit at a computer, and other times it's nice just laying on the couch, punching the crap out of miscellaneous things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, it's good to see. I think they'll get a big increase in buyers. And it was just occurring to me when you're talking about some of the stuff, God, it'd be good if The Secret World was on console.
I would
buy that at the drop of a hat, but anyway. So yeah, so that's good. And then the last MMO we'll cover and we'll throw to you, David, is there was obviously a large event prior to Christmas that you attended. Tell us more.
Yeah, at the end of November, some of the community members put on the third Eve Down Under event, and they managed to get support from CCP. CCP sent over three developers for the event, ran from Friday night to Sunday afternoon. Yeah, no, it was pretty good. Friday night we had a quick sort of meet and greet at a pub and then a few drinks. Saturday was an all-day event. We had keynote presentations from the CCP developers and some people from the community did some speeches. There was massive amounts of prizes given out. We had that a laptop to give away from Lenovo, then plus a whole lot of in-game stuff as well. All the footage was filmed, so they've now got all that stuff up on YouTube. I think you'll put a link in the show notes.
Yep.
So there's a playlist of about 10 different videos. And then Saturday night we had a pub crawl, and yeah, that was pretty cool. Went to three different pubs in the end. And then on Sunday they did a PvP tournament. So for that, people were given 2 minutes to fit their ship, and then they were transported out to a space where no one else could actually sort of fight with them. CCP was kind enough to help out with that, and duke it out to see who wins in that. And then the winner of that went up against one of the CCP devs. So no, it was quite an enjoyable weekend.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I find that impressive just from the viewpoint of, I don't know how big the Australian community is, but it'd be decent, but it'd be a fraction of some of the even bigger MMOs, looking at WoW in particular. And you don't see, there's no, that I'm aware of anyway, there's no Australian version of that for WoW, or how cool would it be to have one for SWTOR like that? And you just, you know, it's obviously a very dedicated community.
Yeah, because the, when you log in and that to EVE, it tells you how many people are logged in. So logins can vary from about 20,000 up to 31, but they've also allow multiple accounts running on your same computer. So even though they've got like 30,000 people logged in, that doesn't necessarily equate to 30,000 people playing. But at the event, I think there was like something about 250 people that turned up to the event in November last year. So it's technically now EVE Down Under is the largest player run gathering in EVE. The previous one before that was EVE Vegas, but that's actually now been taken over and run by CCP. So they have their major event they call FanFest in Reykjavik in Iceland there. This time it's in March to also coincide with the lunar eclipse. So that's, I think, coming up in about 7 weeks or something like that. So I think from memory, there's something like about 10,000 odd people normally turn up for that.
Yeah.
EVE Vegas had about 500 people. And then there's also a whole lot of events all around the world these days. There was a new website just started up called EVE Meet, I think it is, shows where all events are around the place.
Great. I mean, and I think we've talked about this before, Simon. It's just the game that I always would love to play, but I just don't. Again, it's a time issue.
Yeah, well, I think I wouldn't. I'm still trying to learn how to fly my bloody spaceship in Elite Dangerous. So
the
number of times I'm thinking that'll buff right out. Yeah, that'll buff right out.
Do you know how to dock your ship now?
I know how to do high velocity docking.
What's that, going as fast as you can?
They just crash into whatever's close.
Basically crashing. It's, yeah. I've got to dedicate more time to learning how to steer. I really do.
Oh, I know that feeling. All right. So, no, thanks for that, David. I mean, that pretty much covers the MMO section. Just a little bit of preview for episode 93. Your Lore is Stuck in My Canon will be back for 2015. And from what ODS1's telling us, he's thinking of covering something along the subject line of galactic crime. So that sounds cool. Let's jump now into some general gaming news.
This is not the podcast you're looking for.
First up, Dragon Age Inquisition. So I mentioned at the start of the show that I had bought it. So in just after Christmas, I think it was, Sony had when it was able to keep its PlayStation Network up, had a bit of a sale, and Dragon Age Inquisition, the digital download, I think dropped to something like $62. So I decided to take the plunge and download it. all 45 gigabytes of it, I think it was, although you only need to download about 6 to start playing. And I haven't got a huge way in now. Simon, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've played at least one of the Dragon Age games before, haven't you?
Origins, yes.
Yeah. And I know, Ed, you played them all. And Dave, have you played Dragon Age at all?
Yeah, play the first and second one.
Yeah, so there you go. So you're both much more experienced than me. But so this is my first Dragon Age game, and I've got to say I loved it, what I've played so far. It's a beautiful game, as a lot of the reviews said. It's a stunning game to look at. I'm just struggling with the learning curve of the interface because I've not played the games before, but I like what I see. I love... did the previous games have the ability to pause before you had a big combat and position your party and what they're going to do in the combat and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, see? So all that stuff I find impressive. But yeah, just highly recommended if you're after a game to get into. It's everything that it promises. I just, like everything, need more time to play it. And the reason I haven't had a lot of time beyond WoW is Destiny, and Simon and I have both been playing a bit of that. So just my first take, I've purchased the Dark Below content expansion, although expansion's too strong a word, as I think you might be about to allude to, Simon. I mean, what you get for the expansion is not a hell of a lot. And if you've basically got to do a lot of grinding of pickup group strikes to be able to get your level up to a decent amount that you even have a hope of taking on whatever the limited new content is. So, I mean, I've done only the first quest in the Dark Below expansion, and I tried the second one this afternoon, which was level 25, and I'm only level 25 and a half, and I had no hope in hell of knocking it over solo. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Simon, it is you can't put a pug together for the quest content.
No, you really need to...
You've got to have friends.
There's no matchmaking.
No, that's right, yeah.
I believe there is, and I don't know what the address is, but I believe there is a website. It's the 100 something, and I think you can actually, through that website, and it's not anything to do with Bungie or Activision, you can actually find groups that
okay.
way, which is makes about as much sense as finding out about game lore on an external website.
That's
I suppose
right.
is doing matchmaking through an external website. So yeah,
it really identifies the gap, doesn't it?
Mind the gap, definitely.
Yeah. So, look, I'm enjoying it. I do love playing the game. It's a beautiful-looking game. I like the combat. I just really enjoying it. I'm starting to get really sick of the grind to try and get more light gear. I'm in that awful spot that I'm, you know, grinding strikes to get Vanguard rep so I can try... Anyway, it's just a long... All I can see is I'm going to have to play dozens and dozens of matchmaking strikes to even be able to take on the second... quest, and that's a pretty shit way to pay for new content and not be able to access it. Which might be a nice segue into your take, Simon, on Destiny.
I was going to try and do this as a package, the first one ever, but ended up not having enough time, and so I've barely scripted it, so I'll just basically skim through what I've got. And so bear with me, those of you who don't play Destiny, I am actually moving to a more general point that is applicable to pretty much anyone who plays, certainly not free to play first-person shooters, but just gaming in general. So as David said, the combat is fun. It's energizing. It just gets your heart pumping. And it's like, I imagine, being in a toxic relationship. You know you're being abused, but you still can't find excuses to accidentally bump their trolley at the supermarket. it's not doing any good ultimately. And a lot's been said about the game's strengths and failings, so I'm not going to speak about that. What I'm going to address, though, is how one could argue that the knife that was used to eviscerate Destiny's being pointed squarely at the gaming public, and if you think that as a PC game you're somehow separate and safe from that creeping corruption in console gaming, let me just assure you that you are more wrong than Kim Kardashian thinking that C-SPAN is a surgical delivery of a baby. Do you get that? Hello?
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, so right. did Kim Kardashian honestly think that's
what no, she didn't.
Was,
I just,
but that's
I just,
good. I like that.
It just occurred to me
because I'm such a politics junkie. I've always dreamed of C-SPAN being available down here.
Why?
I'm sad like that. But anyway, that's another topic.
Okay. All right. So anyway, firstly, disclaimers. So this is speculation and suspicion. Some of it's mine. Some of it's from the internet. So take it for what it is. But that said, some information does come from the devs themselves, because one of the problems with building hype over a number of years is you have to tease a lot of crap, and our online world being what it is, most of that is still out there and provides clues as to what was before the axe came out. So first thing, obviously, is the lack of story. Why? Now, if you've ever played the game, you realize that there is very little story. There's a few grabs, and it's the speaker basically says, I could tell you. Dinklebot says there's going to be a lot of things you don't understand. I've been dead a long time. And then nothing really. And what was it? Oh, there's not time to tell you. No one tells you anything in this game. They actually stand around telling you that they don't have time to tell you. It's just, it's ludicrous. It's like a prelude to a story that never comes. Well, yet. Now, a lot of people obviously can argue that, oh, well, they've got a 10-year plan, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. If you produce something that doesn't have a narrative structure, I mean, even Call of Duty and Battlefield, their first-person campaigns are laughable in the level of story. It's bloody Lord of the Rings in comparison to what you get here, and that's not an exaggeration.
No, it's not an exaggeration.
The blurb on the back of one of those books gives you more story than Destiny does. But we know there's a lot of backstory to it. So, let's see, what have I got here about that? Jeez. Sorry, David, you'll have to cut this bit out.
No, we won't. It's still a Christmas holidays.
Oh, all right.
We're in summer mode for those of us in Australia.
Hoping to have a through line here. But, all right, let's just start off with one thing. If you do look into the backstory and you read any of the Grimoire cards, it tells you about, and just the background stuff, metaphor of the Golden Age, symbology of the wolf, the allegory of light and darkness, the traveler as a messiah or prophet. I mean, the traveler, after all, according to the little you are told, gave its all to defend Earth, and with its last light created the ghost, who subsequently scoured the world, resurrecting, nothing Christianic about that, new disciples, nothing Christian about that. And there's clear indications that each of the factions, that is the ones that sort of hang around where you get your starship from, have its own backstory and unique philosophy. So they're not just a collection graphics of logos for you to stick on your profile. So there was a lot of narrative depth, and yet it's gone. And the year before, as everyone knows, the project lead creative writer, Joseph Staten, left with no clear reason as to why. And that was probably because, and again, this is supposition, he got told that the thing he'd been spending the last few years writing was being retooled. It wasn't the only thing that was retooled. In one of the E3 gameplay trailers in 2013, one of the devs referenced gear that for one of the hunters that was either traded, gambled, or purchased. So the reference to gambling, I'll come back in a moment. It's the term trading that I'd like you to think about right now, because when a player says they traded something, they usually mean with another player.
Yes.
Not with an NPC. The suggestion is that the game probably had an economy at one point, and quite... at least until February 2013, you know, it's pretty recent. And within that, a random loot system makes perfect sense, since you can trade and sell whatever you get. Also, random loot drops keeps rare items rare. If you completed whatever dungeon and you defeated such and such a boss and you were probably going to get such and such, if there's an economy, an auction house or a market of some sort, then you can do something with whatever the thing you get is, regardless of whether you use it or not.
That's right.
Use it or not. Obviously, there's no mechanism for doing that in Destiny, so the whole random thing makes no sense at all. So what they seem to have done is remove the economy, and you end up being left with an ugly stump of a loot system, which is what everyone's been complaining about.
Yes.
Come out. And it's also worth noting that those skilled in such things can, if an economy exists and the market exists, they can play the market to their advantage. So, you know, buy low, sell high, make massive amounts of money, and give, as Bill, who was on the Otini cast, did, make stacks of money and then give away gobs of it in starter zones.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are people, if they've got the time and they've got the smarts for that sort of thing, they can really play these sort of things. And as far as gambling goes, what could you have gambled on? Well, it's been pointed out that the game's mounts have got stats. Durability, speed breaking, so on. And also, both the ships and sparrows have large areas dedicated to them in the tower. You know, a whole wing, basically. Doesn't that seem like a lot of space to dedicate to
a thing that you never use?
You never use it. It's an animated loading screen. So what if Destiny was going to have its own version of swoop racing or starship racing?
Yeah.
Granted, the mounts in SWTOR have stats and there's no gambling in that game either. However, the ships and the mounts in SWTOR have utility. The ships and mounts in Destiny do not. At least they don't anymore. So, going on closer to the point I'm going to be making. So I suppose the question is what happened. And the game was obviously retooled and simplified. So the economy was removed because that's I don't have the time or the brain power to spare to try and figure out a lot of the things in SWTOR. I'm not a particularly complex player. And for people who are casuals, who aren't complex players or who are young players, then running around shooting people with their friends is fun.
Very cool.
And you've feel like you're good as well. It builds up your sense of strength, and that could be entirely artificial when you think about it. Another thing to bear in mind is that games like Call of Duty and GTA and Battlefield, they built powerhouse franchises on that premise. Counter-Strike is basically running around and shooting people with your friends. That's been going for how long? So certainly, they haven't felt the need to immerse themselves in deep narratives. Counter-Strike doesn't have one at all. But one thing does set them apart. GTA, COD, Battlefield, Titanfall, all of them have got an M rating. Destiny is the only one that has a rating, a T for teens rating.
Mm.
So when you think about it, removing complex items like player economy and introducing high grind repetition brings you in far more into line with casual players and players who have are coming into gaming more from a tablet or a phone side of things, or just trying to appeal to a much younger market, one that probably hasn't been gouged of all of its parents' money yet. And that's one of the issues here, is that The game has basically been gutted. Most of the content and the story basically seems to have been dropped. And there's evidence of a fair amount of stuff that I kept thinking that maybe it would come back later. It would be introduced later. But I think it's fairly obvious now that there's some of the really interesting stuff that was spoken about early is never going to come out because they've had to simplify the story and tear things out. Some of it, because they can't figure out where to put it anymore, and other stuff, so they can dot it out as DLC, because all of the DLC for the next two expansions is on the disc, and then we've got, because of a leak, we now know that Comet is coming out. Now, that's just a code name for it, but it's going to be a full on-disc version. So it's going to be a fairly significant one.
Yes.
May include the base game plus the expansion, but it'll also come with another. It will come with two expansions as well, for which you'll have to pay your expansion packs. So it's a subscription without a subscription. It's a game as a service. It's not something you buy, because if you could just buy the game and play the game and do your dailies, that would be fine. But as we all know, you can't play the dailies, because some of the dailies are actually things from the expansion.
Yes.
So they're blocking people and pushing them to get the expansions, whether they really want it or not, whether they think it's good value or not. And the other thing you ask yourself about Destiny, and we are almost at the point now, is why is there no PC version? Well, there's no PC version probably because a PC version would look a lot better. There's evidence that there's graphically the number of vehicles, the interactions, probably you were going to be able to shoot at the dropships like you could in Halo, but you can't now. There's evidence to suggest that the game was graphically simplified so the consoles, which is the more profitable side of gaming, sorry fellow PC gamers, and that's the reason it's not going to appear on PC, because no one's going to want to play a game on console that's so patently inferior to the PC version.
Yeah.
They feel like they're getting a second-tier product, which effectively they would, because they're going to be playing it on second-tier hardware. And then if you think about that, then you think about the whole business with Ubisoft limiting, was it Watch Dogs? And how they gimped the PC version of Watch Dogs, because they didn't want it to look too much better than the version on console, either of them. And this is really what I'm seeing as a problem and a trend. Also, and let's face it, GTA 5, the PC release of that, also got delayed.
Mm.
How odd. Would it be so that anyone who's going to get the console version of GTA 5, the next-gen version, gets it before they start seeing comparisons of what it looks like on the PC? Or is the PC version going to be gimped, so it won't really matter anyway? Yeah. I don't think Rockstar is going to gimp the PC version of GTA. That doesn't really... That's not really in character with them. I don't know. Anything's possible. It's a worrying trend. It's screwing console players, and as a consequence, it's also screwing PC gamers. So that's basically what bothers me about Destiny, is not just about how people who bought it have been shafted and how it didn't live up to the hype, but also the worrying trend that it represents.
Agreed. And it's engendering anger in the player community, because I know I feel angry about having bought the bloody game and paid another 40-something bucks for the expansions, and I still don't feel like I've got a full game's worth for the original purchase.
And you wouldn't be alone there.
No.
And yet, you can't help it. Just as far as the running around getting light points, there's evidence that was one of the many things that was changed in the last year, where the story got ripped out and everything apparently went to hell. A lot of the grind was introduced at the end.
Yeah.
And that's, again, towards a younger player base, because, you know, the mature gamers are pretty well saturated, so the best place you can start nickel and diming people is younger. Also, if it's a 10-year plan, what was it? If you give me the boy, then... No. I can't remember.
If you give me the boy, I'll... Oh, yeah, I know the one you mean.
The quote, basically, what it means is, if you get them as kids, you've got them for the rest of their life. Now, that was certainly the case with the Halo generation. You look at the amount of joy and then subsequent frustration with the Master Chief Collection. I'm still having fun with it, so what the hell. But, that was my generation's thing, was Halo, or you, with Nintendo, you're addicted to Zelda. You know, you get people, and in their formative years, you know, 7, 8, 9, whatever, somewhere around there, and you've got them for life. I think the 10-year plan isn't for the game so much as for keeping people of a certain age locked in for the next 10 years.
And I think WoW's the perfect example of that.
Yeah. I have to confess, I haven't bought it, but I tried I re-downloaded the client and popped in, and there was my druids standing on top of one of the buildings where I left him in Ogmar, and I just looked around and thought, yeah, the game does look pretty crappy, but God, I'm glad to be back.
Yep, that's the thing.
Just got a warm tingle when I was looking around. And
you would have noticed he looked a little bit better because the character models have had an update.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's looking slightly less angular.
Yes. So no, look, it's a very valid point. And David, any thoughts? I mean, I know you said you played the one game of Destiny. You get frustrated by the lack of story?
Story wasn't too bad. I know there wasn't really much backstory to it, but leveling up, I didn't think it was too bad. I just hate the grind now. Think I'm about 24 and three quarters through. And doing the strikes just seems to take forever to level on that. So that's the thing that shits me about the game is, it, like you two have said, it's a very enjoyable game, but they just need to ease up on the grind.
Yeah, agreed. Because from what I can see, the only way you can get light point gear once you get to about 25 is to grind the Vanguard reputation or the Crucible reputation and then buy it from the vendor. That's from what I can see.
Yeah, and one of the guys at work, he sort of got into it quite heavily, and I think he was like level 26 or 27 and that. And when the new expansion came out, everyone was able to just level so easy. So he was like quite pissed off about that all the effort he's put in, and everyone's just like got up there so easy because of the new content added.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
And that's going to keep happening, I think, because they don't care about the dedicated ones, the ones that put in the hours and hours and hours. That's not what the game's structured for. It's structured for keeping things easy and accessible for as many people as possible, as young and as unskilled as possible. I'm not saying that young people are always unskilled or unskilled people are always young, but two different groups. But they're trying to go for as broad a cross-section as possible and trying to make everyone still feel super awesome, despite the fact that they may actually be pretty crap. If people feel like they're not doing well in the game, they're not going to keep playing it. And if they're not going to keep playing it, they're not going to keep buying the expansions, and Activision aren't going to make any money. And Activision, Bungie, they're both responsible. They're in a 10-year contract with each other. They're glued at the hip, so they're both responsible for this mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's a skillfully designed exercise in stimulating people's the reward centers of people's brains. So the game is undeniably fun. You get plenty of hours of fun out of it, but it's just, I don't know how they can keep this going. I'm not going to, I won't be one of these people who suck it in for the next one. The comets have to do something pretty remarkable, and I don't think that's the way the game's going. So,
yeah,
I'm not the target demographic, so they don't care about me. So that's fine. I understand that. You've got to go for where your profit center is going to be, and they've clearly identified what it is and how to get them and how to keep them, more importantly.
Yes. I mean, and here's my confession as a crap player in Destiny, is that they implemented the ability for team chat now when you're actually in a strike. I've never joined it once because I'm so rubbish. It's obvious I'm the weakest of the three, so there's no way I'm joining the team chat, because it would take my enjoyment away from it, having the other two people scream in my ear, "What the hell are you doing?"
Well, the voices may be considerably higher pitched and far more filthy
true.
Than that.
Well, and I'm assuming that when, if we wipe or whatever, that when the other two turn and start shooting me, that they're unhappy?
Yeah, that's usually the case.
It doesn't happen all the time, but the odd time I'll have them shoot me, I go, I think that means they don't think I've done a good enough job.
Yeah. Well, look, I didn't realise I was doing it, but apparently I'm well into cheesing. So, cheesing is the term for basically an exploit. So if you can find the exploits, which must have been patched, I think. For Crotia, but it's effectively finding a place on the map or a mechanic to avoid to take down the boss quickly. And I've found a couple in the lower levels.
Same.
Not many strikes, but there's one where you go into this massive space and there's like a probe that's signaling something out into space or whatever. And I've found mostly through my frantic bunny hopping around, which is my standard evasive tactic, that there's a spot behind some pipes which you can sort of nestle in and then just rocket launch the big boss, and no, he can't get to you and no one else
can. That's right. There's a lot, I live off that.
Yeah, So do I, and I'm quite good at it. If I don't have to go into a room that I suspect has got a boss in it, and B, the door's going to shut immediately behind me, I don't go through the bloody door.
Although they do have that worked out, because there's a couple of them that if you stay just in outside the door, that they have monsters come in from behind you. That's one way they manage that. But yeah, no, I've done that today. I did a strike, and it was exactly that. I found a spot where the main boss couldn't see me, couldn't move, and I just pounded him for 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, I think that's fine. It's the old real estate adage, location, location,
that's,
location.
That's right. Agreed. All right.
David, have you cheesed anyone in Destiny?
No, I just run around like a headless chicken sometimes and run up to the boss and use the super move and then run out with like zero health left. So yeah, that's mainly my...
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
it's quite fun doing that. But yeah, like I said, I had one time, a little 10-year-old kid bloody going off. In the end, I just muted him.
Yeah, that's I just don't want to deal with that, so I just don't go on the channel.
Yeah, well, that was the target demographic right there. So
Yeah, exactly.
Need a team up one time and have a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. On PlayStation, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got PS4.
Good stuff. All right, let's jump off Destiny. And as Simon said, apologies if that was a bit long, but there was a more general point there that's very, very worthy. So let's get off gaming news, though, and jump straight into some pop culture.
I can feel your anger growing.
Just two things, really, this episode. One that, as the comics nerd, I was quite excited about, and that's the announcement of the actual launch date for the Daredevil TV show. So Marvel, having had some success with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, is it Agent Carter? What's the one?
Agent Carter's only in like 3 or 4 episodes in, so it's a bit early.
It's early days, what it's like. But, I mean, that's their second show, and then unless something else is coming out, Daredevil will be their third. So it'll premiere, they'll release all 13 one-hour episodes on Netflix on April the 10th. The interesting thing for our Australian listeners is whether the Australian launch Netflix will have that or not. Because that'll literally make the difference between whether I get a Netflix sub or not. An Australian Netflix, because I don't do the whatever it is you do to get
geo-blocking.
Version at the moment. But, you know, if they have that level of content on the Australian version, I'm in like Flynn. But either of you interested in that show? Doesn't really appeal? Couldn't care less?
Oh, David can go first. I think people have heard enough of my voice for a little while.
When I saw in the show notes about the Daredevil show, I automatically thought of the original Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck and what's her name? I can't remember the girl in there. Yeah, that's what I thought of. But no, I haven't actually, to be honest, I haven't sort of heard of it. So it'll be interesting. But I still just, one thing I always like, made me wonder about Daredevil is how efficient really is a deaf person going to fight crime?
Blind.
Oh, sorry. Blind, yes.
Sorry, and I should do a disclaimer here. As the comics collector of 35 years, Daredevil is probably my favourite character, and it's the one character that I'm trying to be and failing a completist of in collecting all the Series 1 comics, but there's 380 and, you know, the first 100 are extremely expensive, so... major Daredevil fan, but yeah, he's blind.
Yeah, so just that's the thing that always makes me wonder is just, how efficient is he really at fighting crime with being blind? But yeah, it's good though that they're bringing out more shows. I'd really love a Iron Man show, but the problem is though, you're not going to get Robert Downey Jr. and he really is to me the only person that's good for Iron Man. So, but it'd be interesting to see what other ones they bring out, and particularly also now what Marvel's got the Star Wars franchise.
Yes.
Also, how they go with that. So.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Simon, I know. I mean, David just mentioned Iron Man. If you could choose one Marvel character to become a TV series, what would it be? Live action.
Deadpool. Duh.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I should have realised
that. So that was a given?
Yeah. I would have always said Daredevil, but a very close second would be a Hulk TV series, a really good quality Hulk series. Surely it could beat the Lou Ferrigno version.
Oh, well, what have you got against deaf people?
Oh, yeah, Lou's got a hearing impairment, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So he could play Daredevil.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't resist that.
And then, oh, you're such a bitch.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, David. And then just related to that on the comic sphere is that there was Diamond Distributors released 2014's best-selling comics and graphic novels. So the top 10 comic books, no huge surprise in there. So the relaunch of Amazing Spider-Man number 1 came in as the biggest seller of 2014. There's Walking Dead number 132 was the second biggest. Rocket Raccoon, Death of Wolverine, couple of issues. Thor, Original Sin number 1, which is a Marvel title. Another two Death of Wolverines and a Superior Spider-Man. So they were the top 10. So Marvel had 9 out of the 10 top sellers. But interestingly, in the graphic novel component, it was the absolute opposite. Image had 9 out of the 10 top-selling graphic novels, with DC coming in at 1 with the Batman Court of Owls trade paperback.
Oh, that was a great story.
Yeah, I only read 2 or 3 of those issues, but really liked what I read. I haven't read the whole thing. But I think it was at 6 to 8. I think, anyway, it was a great, great run. So Saga, and if anyone is wanting to jump back into comics, Saga from Image is one of the most adult, complex, interesting comic series around in a long time. So, Saga trade paperback volume 3 and then 1 came in at 1 and 2, and The Walking Dead volume 20 trade paperback came in at 3. Saga 4 again, 2 more Walking Deads. Sex Criminals, either of you heard of the Sex Criminals series?
I'm feeling uncomfortable about the whole...
No, it's all right. It's not as bad as it sounds. So basically it's two people, or it's one maybe, that has a superpower of that. I think it's when she has he or she or they, I think it's both of them, when they have an orgasm, they can stop time. Beyond that, I've never read one, but apparently it doesn't sound as silly as what I've just said. Apparently it's a very popular, another good adult.
How long can they stop time for, and do they have to...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
...continue having an orgasm until... I'm struck by a number of practical issues with the entire concept.
I think they need to change the name, because Sex Criminals as a name just sounds bad.
I don't think they're using their powers for good, is my understanding, but I haven't read any myself. I must have a look on Comixology. I'm not sure whether you can get them digitally. I'm sure you can.
It's a better title than Schoolgirl Santa Rapist or something like that.
That's right.
Like the manga cartoons, do you? Like the manga
comics? I was thinking of the Japanese sphere when I said that, yes.
Yeah, you're only human. So, that's the comic sales. And just one last very brief comic-related thing is Marvel have announced just in the past week that they've got a big event happening where they're essentially going to merge their... universes. So for those outside the comic sphere, what you see in the movies is what's called the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Then there's what's called, now I'm risking getting this wrong, but the 616 universe is what you would call the traditional Marvel Comics universe. And then there is what's called the Ultimate Universe, which they've released a whole bunch of series on, which is where, Spider-Man's Aunt May still alive. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And they're basically going to smash, from what I can gather, the Ultimate and the 616 universe into each other, and it's going to come out as one universe. So who the hell knows what that means? It's called the Secret Wars, which will be the fourth time they've had a Secret Wars event in the last 25 years. My cynicism is sky high. I think it'll be shit. I'm over Marvel and what they've done with those characters. It's just a money-grabbing exercise, as it always is. But, I'll let you know.
Sounds like a crisis on infinite.
Yeah, that's exactly what everyone's saying, is it's the Marvel version of DC's crisis event. So we shall see.
So are they running out of storylines? So is this a way of what their way of revitalizing the series or something? Is it?
Well, you know what the cynical part of me says is that they constantly end and reboot series, and using Daredevil as the example. Daredevil Series 3, which was, selling like hotcakes, Mark Waid's the writer, they ended it at issue 36, I think it was, and then started Daredevil issue one the very next month. And the only rationale was that Daredevil moved from, is he in New York, isn't he? Moved to San Francisco. And so you end the series and you start a whole new series because you've got another number one issue and you hopefully get a whole bunch of new people jump on board. And they do that over and over and over and over again. And I think this is just a way they can do, like DC's new 52 fiasco of 2 years ago, where you launch 52 new number ones and hope a bogload of people jump on board.
I think it fairly well worked.
New 52 didn't. It went down the shitter. As far as I think they're down to 12 of the 52 titles left. Some of which are doing okay.
Well, I know I'm still buying Earth 2 and The Flash, so...
Yeah, no, there's still some good stuff there. And my understanding is they've got their own... I think it's called Convergence. They've got their own event happening this year, so God knows what that'll mean.
I can't keep up with it. It's
ridiculous.
It's almost as difficult as trying to follow the numbering system for Deadpool comics.
Yeah.
There is no sense, so I've just given up on that.
No, it's just stupid. So anyway, that's our comics section for this time. And so last but not least, let's jump into Tech Roundup.
It does have its moments. Not many, but it has them.
Windows 10, Simon. And I know this week they announced they didn't give a date, did they, for Windows 10?
No, but the first tech preview's gone out already, so... It'll probably be sometime later this year.
Cool. So tell us what you've heard about it.
Windows 10, it's coming out soon. Bye, everyone. Have a good night. are we running long? I thought we were running long.
We're all right.
We're not running long. Okay. Well, basically, Windows have skipped Windows 9 because. So Windows 10 is going to be the next iteration. They're bringing back a number of little features that people were whining about, specifically being able to open the modern UI, otherwise known as Metro UI, apps in their own windows, so they're not full screen all the time unless you want them to be. And also they're bringing back the start menu, which looks very similar to one of the free downloadable ones that third parties came out with. And actually, they seem to have been inspired by the best of those. So that's cool. Windows 10 is going to be unified across platforms. So Windows 10 will apply to tablets, phones, computers, and the various variations of those, and the tablet hybrids, obviously. And also, it's going to have some run on to the Xbox One as well. So yeah. They're looking to integrate across the entire platform, all the platforms integrated. Part of that is to ensure that one of the problems that Windows Phone has had, not that there's a problem with Windows Phone, I actually like Windows Phone. The real problem with it is there's just not enough apps. No one's interested in writing apps for it. This is one of the ways they're going to do it. It's basically write it once, pretty much, and be able to roll out to multiple platforms or the same platform across multiple devices. So if it works, then it looks like it could be really cool. As far as things like your hybrid, so things like your Surface and Yogas, the Lenovo Yogas, ones where you fold the screen around or you detach the screen from the keyboard, the interface will actually adjust or reconfigure itself to the device you're using. So if you've got the keyboard plugged in and using it as a laptop, then it'll be more of a desktop kind of operation. You unplug it or put it into a tablet configuration, the UI will reconfigure itself to be the most appropriate UI for that device. So there's some really good thinking going into this, and it's also got the same system requirements as 8.1. So... there's not going to be any upgrades necessary of your hardware to make it work. Also, if you own Windows, if you're a Windows 7 user or a Windows 8 user, 8.1, it's no cost to upgrade. It's a free upgrade for the first 12 months.
Okay.
If you've got XP or Vista, then there is going to be a price, but I'm not sure what that is. I don't think that's actually been confirmed at this point.
Yeah.
There's also a few other bits and pieces that they put out. Most of it is it's not quite like what was it? Was it Songsmith or Songster? That god awful YouTube. It's horrendous. They came out with a headset, but it's not a 3D headset per se. It's an augmented reality headset.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bit like it's a computer monitor that allows you to overlay things while you're still looking. So if you're standing in your living room, and again, this is something you should Google and have a look, because they actually had someone operating this thing in real time, and they had a camera equipped to see the same thing that the operator, the person who was doing the demonstration, could see. And if it's anything like that, it's going to be really Minority Report. It could be quite revolutionary. Cool. Having said that, we also remember what Project Natal looked like in its initial demos. So take it with a pinch of salt. Project Natal, by the way, was the original Kinect. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. Any of the VR stuff always needs to be taken with a grain of salt, but not for too many more years.
Oh, we're getting there. Yeah,
absolutely. Cool. I mean, and from what I saw at Windows 10, it does. It looks like a next incremental upgrade. Looks good. I never buy into the whole it rips off one thing or the other. I know the whole Mac versus PC divide. PC people say Mac have ripped off that, and Mac will say PC ripped off that. It's just we've gotten to a stage now that you can only do an integrated interface so many ways, and they're both very similar now. Microsoft will be ahead of the game if they can truly have the one, you know, one app works on all devices, because sure as hell that doesn't happen on the Mac now. You either have the iOS version or the Mac version. So, but that's the way Apple are going, though, too. I can see within a couple, but I think it'll be a couple of years off.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Apple's going to have to still figure out what the hell it's doing with its iWatch and how that's going to... Apple Watch, whatever the hell they call it.
I still stick with my prediction. That'll be the biggest flop since God knows what. But anyway, could be wrong.
You could be. I think you might be right on that one. But we'll see. Who can tell?
So there's our tech roundup. And now, do either of you lads have anything else that you would like to add?
Yeah, just one quick thing about that Windows 10 thing. I think it was on Twitter. There was a picture that someone released showing the all the journalists in the tech review, and it was funny.
All the
laptops that you saw looked like they were all Apples. I couldn't see any laptops that weren't Apple. I just thought that was quite funny.
It was funny. I mean, the PC purists will say that they're all running Boot Camp, or I use Boot Camp on my laptop and Parallels on my desktop. It's still not the same as running it native, though. Which is why, to be honest, I don't play a lot of SWTOR, because I need to boot into another operating system to do it. That's where it's easier for me to click on WoW and load it up than go through, load into Windows. Oh, I've got all these updates. Oh, I haven't updated the SWTOR launcher. But I promise I will by next episode.
Eve has a native Mac client?
It does. Yes, I know.
Yes.
That's why it's been one of the temptations. All right, let's leave it there. Well, firstly, thanks to you, Dave, for dropping in again. Much appreciated. And
thank you for the invite.
Any time. And more broadly, thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you didn't miss us too much over the 4 or 5 weeks. As always, if you'd like to offer an opinion, suggestion, or some general abuse, please do feel free to email us at contact@oceanicgamer.com or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. If either of you used Allo, this so-called new wonderful social network, AWO.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I haven't checked in since it was by invite only, and I really couldn't. There's one more thing I really couldn't be.
Yeah, well, that's what I've ended up. I've got it, and I've looked down and gone, yeah, no one else. Oh, sorry, our super listener, Gail, is the one that, you know, put me onto it, and I think got me the invite. And, yeah, I just haven't been back in since. It's very minimalist, which has its appeal, but
I like the sound of that. I've got into, I got Inbox, got the, applied for that and got that. And after about 2 days of it, I thought, I can't work out this.
No, but I'm the same.
I don't have the mental energy. I've obviously reached that time of life where, no, change is bad.
Yes.
Stop the world.
Yeah, I've got the Google Inbox access. I've got the app on my phone. Never use it. Oh, no. Yeah. It's just
I find it counterintuitive, but then I'm just used to email doing email.
That's right. We're too old.
Yeah, clearly.
You can also follow us on Twitter. My handle is at The Oceanic Gamer, and Simon tweets under RPG Beats RL. And David, remind me of your Twitter account again. I know I could bring it right up here, but...
Casmas underscore CAMSAS underscore.
And then you'll find previous episodes of the show on iTunes, and we're also on Stitcher. Now, for the odd person that does listen via Stitcher, I know I got an email the other day saying they've had some issues with the latest episodes appearing. That should be resolved by the time you listen to this. But otherwise, thanks very much for listening at all. And thanks again to you guys for joining me tonight. And we'll be back in a fortnight for episode 93. So, yeah, good night, guys.
Good night. And anyone who's still listening, thanks for putting up with the extended ramble.
Nah, that's what we like. That's all.
These shows are fun. I always like listening to these shows.
Ramble on. All right, so have a great week. And remember, if your pug wipes, it's probably because one of us was in it, unless it was Swotor, and then there's no way I was in it. Good night.
Night.
Ciao.
Podcast or the person that listens to it.